Good morning, sir. As we prepare for your hearing, the Honorable Mr. David Neal will serve as your lead panelist for today. The Honorable Mr. Neal will be the next voice that you hear, sir.
All right.
Okay, sir. Can you state your full name and your ABC number for the record, please?
Justin Dwayne Medlock, 172454.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to your committee supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing this time. To my left is the Honorable Louis Canonis. To my right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. To his right is the Honorable Gail Wittenhouse, and to her right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing lead today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today. Okay?
All right.
All right. Prior to hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes.
Okay, on that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you going to represent yourself today?
Just represent myself, sir.
Thank you. Okay, at this time I'm going to swear you and Mr. Westby in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
So your hearing will be conducted in two phases. So in phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Then in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is read the three allegations that are on your warrant. After each one, I'm going to ask if it's true or false, and if you think it's false, we'll get some more information from Mr. Westby and then talk about it, okay?
Yes, sir.
That means number one, the violation of order of additional supervision number seven, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about March 22nd, 2018, per the task GCMS library report dated March 26, 2018. That true or false, sir?
True.
Allegation number two is violation of Arizona Judicial Supervision number seven, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about March 27, 2018, per the task GCMS lab report dated March 30, 2018. That true or false, sir?
That's true.
Okay, and then allegation number three is violation of Arizona Judicial Supervision number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at V-Gray on or about April 12, 2018, without prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, and thus you were discounted from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true, sir.
Okay, so based on the admissions of Mr. Medlock, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as he violated the term and condition of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or without a lapse in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canonis, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Woodenhouse. Okay, so we're going to move to phase two in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Westby's going to give us some background information. So stay on the phone, and we'll be back with you in just a minute.
All right, thank you.
And Mr. Westby.
On October 23rd, 2017, Mr. Medlock was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 2nd, 2018 by Phoenix PD. There were no new charges. He was brought to DOC custody May 2nd, 2018 with an adjusted CSED of October 13th, 2020, which reflects 20 respond days. Current conviction, 2002, burglary first degree, two counts, each for 15 years. Prior convictions, 2002, burglary tools possession, 1 year. 2002, marijuana violation, 1 year. 2002, drug paraphernalia, 1 year. 2002, theft means of transportation, 4.5 years. 2002, burglary second degree, 4.5 years. This is his first term in DOC, CUIR score 2-3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs, violence, and weapons noted. Other arrest, 1990, aggravated assault, Arizona, juvenile probation. His community risk score is a G6, B6.
Thanks, sir. Okay, Mr. Tedlock, you know, summary of your case supervision. Guess you were approved to reside at, with your sponsor, Terry Thurlow, or your mother.
Yes.
And so, with the end on March 19, 2018, you were placed in the Newbury Recovery House, the Animal Substance Abuse Treatment Program, located at 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona. So, no change in residence was requested or approved while the offender was on supervision. So, you left the V-Ray program. Where did you go, sir?
Sir, I was bouncing around to either the hotel or some of the halfway houses like Traditions. I went there and asked them to put me up for a night. I think they put me up for like three different nights, not consecutive in a row, but three different times.
Well, so what was wrong with V-Ray? Why didn't you want to stay for the substance abuse program?
Well, sir, I did bring it to the attention that I'm an addict that needed further assistance, and I can't really go back to V-Ray. It was flooded with drugs. I mean, I make my own choices, and I take full responsibility of making a choice to use. But, I mean, I did say that at one point to Mr. Turner that, you know, can we look into a different halfway house? And he said, absolutely not. He was polite about it and respectful about it, but he did say, absolutely not.
Okay.
That was just me and him talking, and before we went and seen the supervisor or any of that.
Okay. Did you have any employment order, officer?
I worked for Hilton Cabinet Company for like 2 weeks, and then they didn't provide the proper documentation for my parole officer, so I stopped working for there.
Worked for anybody else?
For a family member, and that's where the bad stuff started happening, and so I no longer worked there with him. You know, not only did he not pay me, so I could pay my parole fee, but that's where I met someone, and all the bad came in. But at this point, I do have a job waiting. The minute, whenever I do get out at Papa John's Produce, immediately as soon as I get out, and the halfway house Traditions have accepted me if I'm granted parole.
Okay, sir.
I've done all this since I've been back in here.
Okay. Well, sir, that when you got out, you were put on the task program, the color program for random neural analysis, and started out in Berlin, and I guess you were around, assigned around the time of day. You were required to adopt 13 samples. And out of that, you missed one, but the next day you had dropped, it was negative, okay, which is
right. That's
pretty long. People who miss, you know, make mistakes, miss a lot, so the POs, in their effort to help you, give you an opportunity. But then you went on and we got six positives, almost half the emails you dropped were positives for meth and amphetamine.
Yes, sir.
So you do have a prior. You went?
Yes. May I ask, make one more statement? That's why I also got the counselor out there at MRC, the Maricopa County Reentry Program, is willing to accept me back immediately upon release for the 90-day living program, too. He's aware of my problem. I've talked to him in the past about it, and I don't know why I wasn't stuck into the 90-day program. And still, at this point, it's still my own fault for using and making the wrong choices. I just wanted to bring that to light that I have been trying.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to go through the page of sanctions. You can probably further on cover it. It looks like you were placed into the MRC ITH program.
Correct.
And for, and you can, you know, you completed that.
Right, the 14-day program, and that's when they put me right in the V-ray, and that's when I was talking to my Mr. Turner about, I really like to go there. I would like to look for a different halfway house. That's how that came about right then.
Okay, but the, you have to understand that this whole system is not based on you.
No, I understand.
There's a whole lot of offenders out there, and really not an appeals to do all the work, but the point being that when you ask to go to a different halfway house and your appeal says no, there's reason for it. You're not just don't want to talk to you anymore. It's because there's lack of beds in the places, there's lack of, you know, that maybe you don't meet the qualifications and everything. So, you know, it's, I mean, I understand that if you're around drugs, it's harder to stay off drugs, but it is all up to you. And if you can't, you know, if you can't go in front of people that have drugs and refrain, then you're never going to, you know, you're never going to get recovered. So anyway, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Mr. Canova.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Neal, and I'll keep it short. Mr. Medlock?
Yes.
When was the last time you used methamphetamine?
Like the day before I got turned over to the police.
Of course, I'm rooting for you, your sobriety, pardon me, we're rooting for your sobriety. We recognize that drugs are available inside the Department of Corrections. So how are you, it sounds like you had some real struggles in the community staying clean from methamphetamine. How are you able to stay clean inside the Department of Corrections?
I avoid those people and just stay away from it and continuously try to work like at my job in the kitchen or wherever I'm employed out here and just stay busy constantly.
Well, thank you for your candor. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Sir, are you taking any programs while you are still incarcerated?
I've taken every program while I was incarcerated that they offered at any time. Right now, they have already had the classes started, but yes, I have the inmate that is in to sign up for all the programs that they offer now.
So are you doing NA classes or AA classes?
I have attended two of them. I am not signed into it yet, but I have the inmate that are in requesting to be placed on the master passport, yes.
Because it's in the warrant states that there's periods of time that you were continually using meth on a daily basis.
Yes, I even had called Mr. Turner and notified him of that I'm struggling with it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he even documented that in his own writing that I had called him and struggled. I'm struggling with the use.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Another question? Okay, sir, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination in a few minutes. But before we do that, would I give you an opportunity to make a final statement? Anything else you think we might need to make a good decision? We just ask that you don't repeat the information you've already given us, okay?
All right. Well, yes, I'd like to say that I would really appreciate the chance for to prove it, that, you know, I can stay clean and that I won't go around all the wrong people and I won't go around the Monica Lampert that I had around me. And, you know, I'd just like to be able to prove it to myself, to my family members, to my kids, and to society, to be productive.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into the discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to make a determination. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. We ask that you remain silent, but stay on the phone. You can hear everything we have to say. Okay?
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
It is now discussion. Well, this is another unfortunate one. It seems that Mr. Medlock has a problem with drugs and saying, but it seems that he does better stay away from him when he's inside prison than he does when he's outside prison. But he says he understands that he made the choices, and that's one of the problems, because, you know, when you're incarcerated, there's a lot of availability of drugs, and if you can make a choice to stay away from the people and the drugs inside, one would think you would want to on the outside. But with you know, everything that we see here and his record of compliance to the rules and regulations, I don't see that he's a good candidate for return to any supervision at this time. But I'm willing to listen to discussions from any of my own board members.
I agree.
Okay, based on all the information in order 2018W1225, testimony of Mr. Medlock and all the information from the Department of Corrections and our discussion, I move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Medlock as he was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapse or without the lapse of the ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Dr. Ryan, agreed by Mr. Johnson, Mr. Davis, and Mr. Rittenhouse. Okay, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. It does seem that you have better luck staying sober inside than you outside. Maybe it's just the environment, maybe you don't have as many choices in as you do out, but that's the big thing, is you have to make those choices, just like you're doing in there. Stay away from the people with the drugs and choose not to use them. And we would hope that you would follow through with any and every bit of programming you can get when you're in there, especially anything to do with drug abuse, which is the NA is real good about that. If you can get specifically in the program and participate, they do wonders with people. So we do wish you best luck. And this will end your hearing, and if you would put the field room back on the phone.
Yeah, sure.